I love photography and I do photography to have fun.
Today's guest is wild woman Shona Perkins. Shona is a Scottish seascape and ICM photographer and the founder of My Beautiful Scotland. Heavily influenced by contemporary art and abstract minimalism, Shona has spent the past few years developing her love for intentional camera movement, or ICM photography. Find out more about Shona and her work at mybeautifulscotland.com. Now on to the episode with wild woman Shona Perkins. Let's go. Welcome, Shona. We've had a little bit of a delay getting together, but well worth it, right?
Here we are. Here we are,
ready to go. Oh my goodness. This is one of my favorite things, is just talking with people from everywhere. And it's kind of like the magic of technology that you and I can talk from so far away. So where are you based in Scotland?
I'm in Edinburgh. I've been in Edinburgh. Yes, wonderful city. I've been in Edinburgh now 15 years. I'm literally just back from the Outer Hebrides, where I was running a retreat in Harris, which is magical, absolutely wonderful. So it's gorgeous as Edinburgh is, I'm feeling the loss of the beauty and the remoteness that is the Outer Hebrides at the moment. So I'm having an adjustment period, should we say.
Oh my goodness, I am too. And you know, before I start press record, I told you I had just gotten back from California, and it always is an adjustment period coming back for me from like a longer trip. I was gone almost 2 weeks, but since it takes me 2 days to get there, I consider my trip like a week and a half, you know? But I camped in Death Valley. I visited my mom. I also went to a little town called Lone Pine in the Eastern Sierras. And it's all like a little bit dry. Some of it's mountainous. It's just totally different landscape from here. And my brain is doing something different. And I think that's what makes, right? Like, I know.
Yes, yes. I'm relating to that completely. My God. And it's a tough adjustment period. I thought my drive of 9 hours was bad, but 21, you've topped me there. But it's not just the exhaustion from having an intense week. It's the relationships that you build in that period of time, and then you're walking away from them. And I came home, and it was really nice to see my husband and my dog, of course. But actually, I've been feeling quite lost this week, and it always amazes me that the intense relationships you build in such a short period of time. Did you have something similar when you were in California?
Oh, yeah, because so I've talked about this on the podcast before. Last year, my friend Jeannie was the catalyst. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this episode, you'll already have heard from her on our little panel discussion. And I had said, I'm going to White Sands. And she said, oh, I'd like to go. Are you camping? And I said, yeah, but maybe if we can get some other people, then we could just rent an Airbnb. And so that's kind of how it came up. She's like, well, who do you know? And I'm like, well, let's just make some invites. And we had, including myself, there were six women. It was really a special time, and we all got along. And so those are the relationships that I'm talking about. And I don't think this is like you're talking about, like creating these relationships and really developing them. And like, I don't think that there's anything, like it feels magical, but I don't think there's anything unique about my own personal experience. I think anybody who wants to can create these like kind of growth, like growth in relationship experiences for them. Like,
yeah,
you know, interacting with people in that are like-minded in your same community.
Yeah, it's special.
Right? It is special.
It's really special.
Yeah. So I camped with four of them. So there were five of us from the trip in Death Valley. And then we all met up again in Lone Pine and shared an Airbnb. And when I was leaving, my friend Jeannie just gave me like the biggest squeezy hug. And I was like, I almost cried. I was like, this is really awesome. Like, I really love that we have worked to make these kinds of things happen. Like, you can't just like hope it comes to you.
No.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. And for me, it's, do you guys have Big Brother in the States? It's a reality TV show. I don't know if you do.
Oh, yeah.
You do. So that's the best way I can describe it. When you put people together and you're 24/7 in quite an intense environment. And you're having such deep conversations. There's no surface level chat going on here. It's really, really deep stuff. You're delving into people's secrets, and you've formed this really, really strong bond. So after 5 or 6 days, saying goodbye is emotional. And I love it. I love that intensity. I'm quite an intense person. So I really love it. But it's then that adjusting afterwards when you get back and it's back to kind of, you know, the day job.
Right.
That I find quite hard.
Do you categorize yourself as an extrovert?
No.
Oh.
This is really interesting. So I'm glad you asked that. No, I like this conversation. So I would say in my previous career, I was an introvert in definitely an extrovert's world, and I played the role and played the part of being an extrovert to fit in. But I believe that I am a bit of an introvert, because I would always choose to probably spend time with one or two people top. I'm very happy being on my own. I need to retreat and be on my own, but I'm not in any way shy. So if I'm put in an environment with a big group of people, I thrive on that as well. So it's an interesting one, because I am an introvert with extrovert tendencies. Is that a thing?
Yeah, we actually, all of us were talking about that the other night.
Okay.
An introverted extrovert. I don't know. I'm a total extrovert.
Okay.
Because my husband will go, I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't know if I want to go. And he'll say, just go. You know that you'll perk up when you get there. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember. I will. And I come home and I'm like, I could bounce off the walls for another hour. But at the same time, as I get older and as I grow more comfortable with myself, and maybe that's part of the process, is that I like being alone. I like having my alone time in my quiet space. I like photographing alone because I like there's sometimes I want to be social about it. And then there's other times like I just want to do it alone. And I think that's kind of an interesting space. And so I don't think like creating these relationships, you don't have to be introvert or you don't have to be an extrovert to have these things. You just have to know what you want, what your boundaries are, you know, because for sure there's some of us who are like, hey, I'm not going out in the morning because I'm tired. And I already know that's going to be hard for me. And, you know, or, hey, I'm just going to, you know, like, oh, so-and-so disappeared. Oh, she must need her personal space right now. Like, we don't make it mean anything bad. Are these friends or are these clients? These are clients, right?
Clients.
That you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do seem to I do form relationships quite quickly. I suppose really that my career was about building teams and making people feel comfortable. And I've always loved that. So I enjoy meeting new people. And almost this is quite strange, but I almost enjoy meeting people that I don't know, this sounds awful, more than going and spending time with people I do know. I must make sure any friends I have don't actually listen to this when it comes out. I really enjoy meeting new people because I find it really fascinating and interesting, and I like going on, I love leading retreats and workshops and meeting people that I wouldn't readily meet, you know, in my local pub. And I'm fascinated having those conversations and hearing about different people's lives and, you know, what makes them tick. I'm very interested in that and I enjoy that.
I feel like you should be a podcaster.
I would enjoy it. I was actually chatting to my husband today about just that. I would enjoy, you know, interviewing people and getting to know them, but I don't know if I have the time.
I will tell you, it is a time suck.
Yes,
you have to be fully committed to this thing. Yeah. And so far, I love it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you must enjoy it.
I have one other podcast, and so I just try and make this one easy.
Yeah.
So there you go. Well, this is so fun for me because I love your work.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I don't think I've had anyone on before who specializes in intentional camera movement. I'm just going to make a little side note that I have a photograph that I thought was fun, and it's actually unintentional camera movement. I think I pressed the shutter and then pulled my camera down by my side.
It happens. It does happen.
And then how do you tell which one is which apart? No, I'm just kidding. I think you're very deliberate in what you do.
Yes. Yes. The intentional bit is intentional.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, it has to be, and I've played with it a little bit before. And what I find is that it lends itself to so many different subjects, and you can see you can see things in a new way. In fact, when I was in East Texas at Caddo Lake in the swamps last year, it was cloudy and overcast, not much light, but not fog. And so the light, it was fine. The light was just kind of boring. And my friend Eric said, why don't you try some ICM? Because I've not really seen anything, you know, any of that from that space before. I'd love to see some. So I haven't processed any. Maybe I'm a little intimidated by it, but it's there waiting for me when I'm ready.
Interesting. And interesting that you said you're a little intimidated by it, but it's a process. And the thing with ICM, it just takes, it takes a lot of time. I've been practicing ICM, I think I started around 2018. So a long time. And when I'm out with people and, you know, what do you want to get out of our day together? I want to take photos like you. And that's probably not going to happen in a day. It takes patience, practice, experimentation. And it can be challenging because at the end of the day, we're moving the camera about. So, but that's what I love. I love the challenge. And
Do make it look easy. I think when it's well done, it looks really easy. Like, oh, I could just go there, wave my camera around. And I have tried it and it is not that easy.
No.
For sure. There's some interesting technique involved. But so one of the times I tried it, don't worry, I have a lead up. I'm going to ask you to tell a story. So one of the times I tried it, I was in Costa Rica and there was a storm coming in. And it started raining and I wasn't getting the water started getting the little droplets on it, which I was like, oh, what do I try here? And so I on purpose did some ICM there. I played with it, I just got soaking wet. It was so fun. I even, you know, I do have one image of it, but that I came away with, but the experience of it was so fun. And I actually think how I felt when I was doing it. It always feels like creative play and experimentation because you don't quite know. But I would love you to talk about a little bit about your experience with it, and then specifically when you were caught out in the storm, you said caught out in a storm on one of the most remote beaches in the Isle of Harris, right? So
is got another one as well, I can tell you about.
Right.
I keep getting caught out in storms.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because yeah.
Welcome to Scotland.
Right. I was not remote. I was just out there and I could like easily run to my car when I was done. Like I actually put my camera away and I took a selfie of myself, like totally drenched, soaking wet. Which is because it was warm. And so I didn't have rain gear. I didn't really need it. It was like being in a bath. Right.
Yeah.
But when you're far away from like civilization or your vehicle or whatever, then what do you do? So I'm just going to let you take it from there.
All right. Okay. So I'll start with,
She's laughing because she knows the end and we do not.
So I feel, I'm just going to take it back to where you talked about having fun. And I just want to say, I love photography and I do photography to have fun. And if we're not having fun, right, why are we doing it? And it calms me as well, because I can be quite, as I said, quite a frantic person. But I love weather. I love stormy weather. And when you're in the Outer Hebrides, especially, and you get these, you just get the most amazing light. And you get this black, dark, black, thick cloud come in, and you could get, you know, a couple of moments of just magical light from behind you. Big waves, and, you know, it's just so changeable. And when they say in Scotland four seasons in one day, they really aren't exaggerating. And we had that last week. We also had it a couple of years ago. So I'll start with a story from a couple of years ago. I was out in Harris and we'd walked to a bit more of a remote beach. I learned everything the hard way, by the way. I learned everything the hard way. And then I tell everybody.
Same.
The best way to learn, right? It's the best way to learn. So I was, and I've been going to Harris for years and I should know better. But when you go out in Harris, you make sure you're wearing your waterproof trousers, your Gore-Tex coat, you've got your hood, you've got, you know, you're prepared. So for some reason, for whatever reason, I had the gear with me, but I wasn't wearing it. It was in my bag, had my little dog with me as well. And we walked to this very, very remote beach, sort of up a cliff, along and down. And it was absolutely stunning. I mean, absolutely beautiful. So we're about 40 minutes away from the car, and in came the black cloud, and the backlit, really beautiful light. And I was like, have to get a family selfie, and set the tripod up, and in came a squall. And again, that happens all the time, where you just get the wind will sort of rip up out of nowhere, and you can get really, really severe gusts. And this, well, you know where I'm going with this. So there's the tripod. Timer set. Off I go. Turn around. Boom. Tripod's fallen down. Lost my lens. That was crushed beyond repair. Left my other lens in the car 45 minutes away. So essentially without the camera. Sadly, because the light was incredible. And then came the rain. So we're now sort of got 50 mile an hour gusts whipping up, the rain's coming down, and it's like, shit, gotta get the waterproofs on. And it was comical. You should have just seen it. You know, you've got the big waterproof trousers that zip up the side, they're going everywhere. Then I'm trying to get my little dog and his little waterproof onesie.
I mean, like, it's so cute.
Yes. And so sand everywhere, sandblasted, wet, so, you know, no camera, lenses smashed. And it took me a while to kind of then see the funny side. I wasn't, laughing a bit straight away. But I'm going to tell you another one. So I have obviously learnt my lesson. No more family selfies. Absolutely not. Not even when there's no wind, just not happening. And last week, I was out with the camera with a group, so 10 of us, and again, really beautiful morning light, lashing rain, but it was kind of coming from behind us, so we were able to shoot, and my camera was getting very wet. Again, I'd left my waterproof cover in the car, because that's what you do. And
right. When you don't learn.
And I left my camera on, battery and damp for about half an hour, and blew the circuit. So spent half my week without a camera. But you know yourself, it's better that that was me and not one of the guests who was coming out there specifically for photography.
Exactly. I had a friend in Death Valley. He was perched with his tripod on the edge of this like hill. And I don't know what happened, but his camera went whoop, over the side. I know. Yeah. And this happens, yeah. Right? Mm. I mean, you know, it does happen because we're out in nature. And yeah, exactly. I love that you tell this story because A, you're not afraid to go out in it.
Oh no.
Of course, you're like cautious. You have your gear, even though you didn't wear it, you still have it.
Yeah.
And I hear like you're laughing about it because I think you trust yourself to take care of anything that happens in the moment. And yeah. Right?
Yeah. And the best way to learn is to, learn the hard way. Last week was a bit of a fatal error on my part, to be completely honest, a bit stupid. But, you know, I will tell the tale and other people will benefit from that. So that's how I see it. That's how
right,
I see it.
Right, exactly. So maybe this is the educational podcast day where you learn what not to do with your camera in the rain. Yeah. So actually tell us more about that, because there are definitely some precautions that you want to take if you're out photographing in the rain, because, you know, we want to do that. I don't know what camera system you have for sure. Like, I don't always talk about gear on here, but I do like to sometimes go, okay, what can we learn from this situation? Right. So, like when I was in Costa Rica, I didn't feel like I mean, I could have been photographing in my bathing suit, because it was that warm. So wow. No big deal.
Don't ever get to do that.
If you come to Costa Rica with me, you can. But I assume that for you, it was a little on the colder side. So you definitely don't want to get wet, because there's a chance, you know, when you get wet and then you get cold, then there could be some, you know, there's a chance of like hypothermia going on. So I'd love you to talk about maybe some of the preparation for that. And also, like, how did your camera just got wet in the second story?
Yeah, you do get wet. So it is about having the right gear. If you've got the mm-hmm. right gear, then you'll be fine. But it's also about allowing people, I guess, when you're on a retreat like we were last week, and we did get a battering, there were a couple of days that were intense. Everyone loved it. It was invigorating. It was amazing. But you need a chance to dry out before the next outing. And you have to be really careful about, if you're photographing near the sea as well, water going into the welly, stuff like that, because when it's freezing cold and you're wet and you've got wet feet and you're carrying on all day, but that's no fun. I think myself and Stephanie, who I was co-leading the retreat with, on the day where the weather was really bad all day, we really had to rethink, okay, where are we going? Because we may need to come back to get dried out before we go back out again. And, you know, because you can't guarantee that everybody that comes on these things has got, you know, you can make sure that they know what they need to bring with them. But if they do turn up and they haven't got fully waterproof coats, and, you know, you've that can get a bit challenging.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it totally can, especially when we want to be having fun, but we're actually like, I don't like being cold when I'm photographing, because that will immediately shut me down, like my creativity down.
So
having the appropriate stuff for the right situation is really good. Now, I think that's why it's good if you're going someplace new, I always think it's great to go on a workshop. Because, or with someone one-to-one, or with a mentor that knows the place, because then they can guide you on what you're going to need. Like, it's like a hack.
and look after you, and absolutely. And then you've got someone else to worry about the weather, where does it go, and you know, what's happening, you know, so I get that.
Right. So I think there's a difference between finding a place on your own and having the experiences and kind of becoming maybe the expert in that place or that subject, because, you know, I think that's fun. And also when you go someplace new, you either do all the research yourself, or you have someone show you. And I don't think there's a right or wrong way to, like, I don't think either are right or wrong. I just know being prepared is really important, right?
Absolutely. And another, you touched on, I'm getting cold here. It wasn't too cold last week, so it wasn't too bad, but I suffer from really severe Raynaud's syndrome, which is essentially blood flow problems. And if my hands get cold and I lose blood to my fingertips, my fingers go white, you might have seen it before, and they go completely numb, completely white. At its most extreme, I can't press the shutter button, and I literally can't feel them. And then it's when the blood comes back, which could be half an hour, you just don't know. When the blood starts coming back, the only way I can describe it is someone slamming my fingers in a car door. The pain is. So the trick for me is, it's all about preventing it from happening. So if I, for instance, I'm wearing a pair of gloves. I own about 50 pairs of gloves, by the way. And I'm still looking for the perfect pair. But if I need to use my mobile phone and I have to take my glove off, in that time period that I do that outside, and if that temperature changes significant enough, I will lose my hand for an hour. Yeah, really, really bad. I use hand warmers and stuff like that, but I'm still searching. I'm still searching for the perfect pair of gloves.
What have you tried? Can we just tangent for a little bit?
The best gloves. The best gloves. But they're still not perfect because I can't use my mobile phone with them. So that annoys me. And I like to take videos and capture stuff on my phone. But I've got Montan Dryline women's Dryline prism gloves, so they're really lightweight, fully waterproof, but really you know you can work your camera with them. They're really dexterous and really light, as opposed to kind of thick, heavy ski gloves where you can't do anything.
Right. Yeah, I guess you would need something that's very waterproof.
Yes, and waterproof and windproof.
I feel like when it gets rainy, I'm out. Maybe I need to change that. I actually just bought a pair of gloves. Michelle Sons, she has been on the podcast before, and she went to Antarctica recently. FYI, she got married there.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that exciting? Wow. Like,
didn't Victoria Hack photograph her wedding?
Yes, yeah. She did. Yes, Victoria photographed it. I'm waiting to see some of the, I like saw some of the photos, but not all of them.
Oh, it'll be incredible.
I know. I knew when I had Michelle on the podcast that this was going to happen, but I had to like keep things all buttoned up. But I'm just so excited for her that she got to do that. So as I digress, she posted a pair of gloves that she got that were like mittens for three fingers, and it left these two free. The thumb and the pointer finger, the tips come off. I don't know how waterproof they are. I just bought them.
I like the sound of them. I do that. It's this finger though is my...
Your bad finger.
Yeah. Put it this way, in the middle of the summer here, it can happen to me. If I go into a supermarket, I go into the freezer section. I could just be walking around, and then suddenly I'm like, I'm the person on the beach in the summer wearing gloves.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's a really, really good look.
Right. Exactly. Oh, yeah. I can see that. I'd probably be like, that's interesting. Why is that girl like? And so that's a good reminder to all of us to pay attention to like what we can do health-wise, you know, our physical, like, you know, what are our physical limitations and how do we work with those, right? Yeah. So how have you... besides just the gloves part, like how have you been able to manage? Because this doesn't sound what you do, like photographing in the cold and then the rain in this kind of weather. This does not sound like something thing that someone with your condition really should be doing. So how have you really, how have you really managed it? Like maybe we touched on it, but I'm just wondering how you've managed that. And has it affected you any other times when you're photographing?
So the worst that I remember, like a few years ago, it's all about preventing it. If you prevent it from happening, and I've gotten better at managing that. And that's absolutely critical. And like I say, the little hand warmers in my pocket that I can clutch if I can feel it starting to come on really, really work. But a few years ago, I climbed a mountain in Glencoe for sunrise, and it was the snow at the top. It was about a minus 10 wind chill. It was cold. And I don't think I was fully prepared for that. I didn't. It's difficult when you're looking at the weather and you're not taking into consideration the wind chill. And I was in so much pain. I was screaming out at the top of this mountain. And the frustrating thing was, it was incredible. It was beautiful. It was just everything that you would hope for. You know, a tough climb up, the sun's rising. It was very windy, but I was just in so much pain. I just needed to get down. And and that was hitting it worse. So now it's just managing it and thinking about like prevention and not letting it happen. I think there's health things as well. I was offered at one time blood thinning drugs, but I didn't go down that route. But I think there's other things I could probably look into.
I mean, truthfully, if you can manage it yourself, that's probably. Yeah. Good. I'm not going to tell you how to take care of your health. I do think it is difficult to be in a beautiful place trying to make photos. Also, like not just the photography, but having the experience of being in this wonderful place and then being in pain or have something, you know, crazy happening. Like sometimes I get headaches, like migraines. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've had one make me cut a hiking trip short, you know, because it's just not enjoyable anymore. And you kind of got to know when to
stop.
I took myself on a 2-day backpacking trip and I didn't prep because I didn't have any like ibuprofen. I didn't have any. I thought 2 days, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think my head had got too hot the day before. Maybe I try and really keep hydrated. So I don't think that was the problem. However, if you get hot, like I think my head just got too hot. And in the middle of the night on the second night at like 3 a.m., I'm like, my head hurts. It like hurts bad. And there's nothing I can do. I don't have an ice pack. I don't have ibuprofen. And I thought, you know, it's kind of chilly outside. Finally, I just was like, I don't want to be laying here anymore. Because my tent is the only place I have to go. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to get up in the morning and photograph and leave. And so that's all I'm missing. And so at like 3:30 a.m., I quietly packed up my tent. And the scariest thing for me was hiking out on my own because it wasn't a big deal park, but still I know there's animals. And so I like put on a podcast because I never do this. I never hike at that time. I mean, I do. I'm usually with people or whatever. I'm, you know, ready for that. So I just put my phone on with a podcast out loud. So it looked like I had multiple people chatting with me while I was walking. Clever. So it could scare animals away just in case. And it was only like a mile and a half back to the car. But still, it made me leave my situation. Yeah. And that was not cool. So now I know, like, I'm prepping for a big backpacking trip. And now I know I want to make sure I have things so that I don't get stuck in that situation again, you know?
Yeah. I think also, like what you just said there, and I think this is something for me the last, I don't know, 18 months or so, knowing when you have had enough and actually it's okay to stop what you're doing and go home, or you may not have got what you went out for, but if you're not feeling it, or if you're not feeling well, or if you're not feeling right, or if you're just not in the right place in your head, then it's absolutely okay to just leave. And I think so many photographers go out, don't they, and put this unnecessary pressure on themselves that they go out to a location and they need to get the shot, and they'll stay out until they get it. And actually, you can't force these things. You just can't force these things. And yeah, that's been one of the biggest changes for me, really, in probably the last year, is just slowing down my approach. And I met a really inspirational person last week. She's actually a Scottish contemporary artist, named Ellis O'Connor, and just incredibly talented and incredibly inspiring. A bit younger, and it was like having a therapy session with someone sort of 10 years younger than me. It was incredible. But it was the
that
ability,
sounds fantastic.
Yeah. But it was her ability to, you know, take the time that she needs to just be. And during that time, that's when she's gathering all of her inspiration. And when she's ready, that will come out of her, and she puts it on the canvas. And I like that approach, because I think sometimes, you know, it can feel a bit forced with photography, you know, right, okay, well, the conditions are great, let's go. But actually, if you're not feeling it, you know, it can feel a bit forced. And I actually really enjoyed half of the week last week without the camera, and actually seeing the beauty that is the Outer Hebrides, not just through my viewfinder, and actually having peripheral vision and actually being able to take it all in. And it's still just equally as inspiring for me to have that. So that's something I've really sort of seen a change in me. That's something I want to change even more, and just get out even more, and not necessarily with the camera, and just spend more time in these really, really beautiful remote places.
Because so often it is about the experience.
Yeah. Absolutely. And don't we forget that though sometimes. It's like,
I know.
Why are we doing this?
Right. I think a lot of times photography is having the experience and then bringing it back with us. That's what the photograph is about. So if we're not having the experience, then maybe the photograph isn't as meaningful.
I
personally like when my photographs are meaningful. They aren't all that way. But I like having the experience and then bringing that back home with me. It makes everything feel really special. It makes me feel like more connected to my own photography.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
So, this isn't really an interview podcast, but I just have to ask you, like, why ICM?
It's a very good question. I get asked it all the time and I still can't answer it. so sorry about that. I'm very influenced by contemporary art. Absolutely love art. I have had a go with oil painting. I'm not saying it's not for me, and it's possibly something I'll pursue later on in life. Not now, but it is possibly something I will pursue. And my first attempt wasn't great. And I did GCSE art back when I was 15. And I guess what I'm trying to do with my images is, this sounds so cliche, and I do not want ICM to sound cliche, but I'm wanting to get a bit of a painterly feel to my images. I'm totally drawn to the sea. I need to be by the sea as much as I can. And I just want to foster focus. I just want to soften the edges of what I see, as I would imagine how I paint the scene in front of me. So I don't want to massively abstract the scene. I really, really don't. And ICM doesn't have to be about that. So I guess for me, how I see the scene, how I visualize how I would paint it if I could, is how I want to photograph it. Does that make sense?
Yes. It absolutely makes sense, because I love impressionist painting, and I too also, you know, I love that kind of work. I don't even know if I have a whole wall of stuff. I don't even know if I have any up here. Well, I have this from James Lane.
James,
there we go. Right behind me.
Hi, James.
See, James is in that photograph.
I know James. Yeah.
But I have just found, like, I, for some reason, and I think a lot of artists are this way, that there are artists that are drawn to oil painting. I particularly like watercolors. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what we're drawn to. Some people have to sketch. And for some reason, we need our cameras to create. And so, and how we do that, everyone is totally like unique and different, right? But I like playing with it and experimenting and then taking my photographs, and I'm going to do some new stuff with it, which will be really fun. I have no idea how it will turn out, but we'll see. But I find it fascinating that we all can use our cameras. It's, I know it sounds cliche. It's fine. It's like, it's our tool. It's our tool we use to create. Yeah. And also we can say this is like our painting because, I heard someone recently in a book or something that said like words are plastic. So even like they don't quite describe the things well that we want to. And I'm definitely not a writer. So being able to describe things is sometimes difficult. But the only way I can do it is like, the only way I can describe this, my process is that my camera is my tool to make art. And I like it sometimes to look like a painting. So take it for whatever that is, but I hear that from you too.
Absolutely. The other thing for me as well is, you might have, you know, you've only met me today, but I can be quite frantic and quite excitable. Oh. Yeah. And I've always been like that, but 2 seconds behind the camera. And you know, because I work between 1 to 2 seconds, roughly around that sort of speed, which is quite slow in ICM terms. But when I'm behind that camera, everything just goes still and everything goes calm and everything goes quiet. And there's no noise in my head. And that's probably the only time that there's no noise in my head. It's like my little meditative moment, you know, when I'm just literally at one. Again, I'm going into cliches today. We're going to go down the cliches. When I'm at one with my camera. but my camera, you know, I do everything through the viewfinder. And I'm always handheld. And it's almost like VR goggles. You know, I really am truly at one with the camera. And it is. I need it. I need to have those moments of calm. Otherwise, I would just be physically exhausted all the time.
I mean, these sayings are cliche. Like, I don't even know how to describe cliche, but we say these often for a reason because many of us resonate with them. And so they can really become true. You know what I mean? I mean, if it feels true for you and meaningful, then it is. So it doesn't matter if it's cliche.
No, right? There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
So I love that you said that how you're at one is, has there been a time that you have like had an extended period, not just like one photograph, but an extended experience where you were like, that was amazing?
Ooh, yeah, recently.
Yeah, tell me.
Oh, I mean, we all, photography allows us to see the best of the world, doesn't it? It really, really does. And what month were we in March? So yeah, early February, I went away and I was up in the northeast of Scotland. So a little bit further north from Edinburgh. And it was one of those sunsets that, I kid you not, it like just went on and on and on. And I think for maybe over an hour of just watching the light change and the color develop. And it was the pinkest sunset I've ever seen, cerise pink. And the sand was pink, the sand dunes was pink, the sea was pink, my dog was pink, everything. And it was just, there was a few people dotted around and everyone was just in awe, whether they were photographers or not. It was just a moment of just wow. And it makes me kind of goosebumpy thinking about it. And it was just incredible. And then it was just shoot, enjoy it, take it in, and loved it every moment. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? When you witness something truly, truly spectacular like that, which only really comes along I don't know, once or twice a year when you really see something that special. And it just makes it, yeah, makes you happy to be alive.
Right. And it makes it worth the trouble that you go through to get there, or all the other times where you, you know, hike the mountain and don't have the gear, you know, because you're just out there, you know, trying and looking for the experience, right?
Yeah, totally.
I had that once too in White Sands, by the way.
Oh,
and
wow.
White Sands National Park is all of these like really, really light colored gypsum dunes. They look white in bright sun. So that's why people say White Sands. And it, everything glowed pink. Everything. It was amazing. It was just this like pink glow, which, and you know, many of us have probably experienced something like that, but if you can be there with your camera to kind of bring the moment.
At the right time, right place, right time.
I know. So was your, were all of your images from the night?
Oh, they were just so fluorescent pink. I mean, the raw files were just like, I was just like, oh my God, what am I doing with these? And I worked with a much more sort of muted, moodier color palette. And I was kind of, whoa, what am I doing with this? So I've still got all that to work through. But you know what? It was just having that experience was just incredible. Just incredible.
It's amazing. Nature is awesome.
Yes, isn't it?
What else can we say? Nature is awesome.
Totally.
Right? So one of the things, thank you for sharing all that, by the way.
My pleasure.
It's so fun. It's so fun to hear about other people experiencing awe. I love it. It gives me a little bit of goosebumps. A little bit of secondary awe on my part. So one of the things that we talked about before I started recording was that you have an upcoming retreat. I personally, I'm also a coach, a success coach. I'm always changing how I say things, but I'm a success and sustainability coach for creatives. And I love that because I love helping other people like develop confidence, accomplish goals, and really just explore their own creativity. And I love hearing about this kind of stuff that you're going to do. So will you just tell us about that retreat? By the time this episode comes out, that will probably have started, but for sure you offer other ones. So will you just tell us about that?
Yeah,
I think it's so fun.
Yeah. Well, it's 2 weeks time that we start this, and it's mine and C's second one. So I met C. Dixon Reed, who's local to me, and she paints where I photograph in East Lothian in central Scotland, which is beautiful. And I love her work and have loved her work for many years. And I reached out to her, oh God, a year ago, maybe a bit before. And I reached out to her and I said, we need to go meet. We need to have coffee. We need to meet. I've got a few ideas. Let's just meet up. She probably thought I was crazy. So we did and we hit it off, got on really well. She has just started herself doing a little bit of sort of teaching, but is much more drawn to just painting than teaching. Whilst I'm obviously really drawn to the teaching side of things, and that's where my passion is. But we wanted to explore the connection between, especially ICM photography, but the connection between photography and art, because there's a huge connection. And I'd come up with this idea of, you know, really teaching people about ICM photography, going out and experiencing sunrise in the morning, taking inspiration from what you see, taking some photos, getting back to the hotel or to, we're in a beautiful house in a couple of weeks' time, and getting back and putting it onto canvas with the aid of C. Dixon Reed. We did our first one last October, and it was absolutely incredible. It was amazing. And just a small group of five women last time, and truly inspirational. I also had a go at the painting side of things. We spent 2 days doing pure photography, and on the third day we actually then went into C's working studio where she actually works. And we started off the day, and I said to C, I want to walk in your shoes. I want to do what you do. When you go out in the morning, you witness the sunrise, we want to walk in your shoes. So we went out and she said, well, leave your cameras at home. And I was a bit, oh, really? And we got out, had the most amazing sunrise, absolutely beautiful, beautiful sunrise. And it was incredible because we watched Fee sort of take it in. We walked back to her studio and then we watched her do a demo and paint what we'd just witnessed in the space of 45 minutes. And it was just insane. And we were just speechless. And she made it look so easy. So we were all kind of, you know, oh, we can do this. It's easy. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. And then she's like, right, here's your easel. Here's your palette. You know, off you go. Yeah, not easy. Not easy at all. But so inspiring. And yeah, and it was, for me, it's something I want to take further. I think there's such a connection. And I think every creative has different avenues and different ways that they want to express themselves. And yeah, this is just a chance to be able to sort of like bring those two different sort of mediums together. So 2 weeks' time, we're also going to be doing some sketching. We've also got a guest artist coming along who makes her own pigments from the stones on her beach. Yeah, so we'll be making our own colours as well. And yeah, I think it'll be special. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's amazing. How fun.
Gotta be fun. Gotta be fun.
I know. I know. I love this so much. I love, because a lot of us, seriously, I mean, if you're listening to this, you're probably a photographer, but you might also be a multi-passionate creative and really like enjoying other things too. And I think that's fun to combine, our different arts together, you know, or just try something new with what, you know, what you're currently doing and see how that influences. Because I am a big believer that trying other creative outlets influences the main thing that I do in a good way. It like makes me a more full and complete photographer versus like, I don't know, having like being myopic about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I really agree with that.
Shona, this has been really fantastic.
It's been lovely, hasn't it? Right? Really, really nice.
I mean, we've been recording for 50 minutes. I kind of feel like it's sad, but we're like, then the conversation is ending.
I know. Totally.
Oh my goodness. Well, tell us, it is time to end, but before we go, you told us about all that retreat, but will you just tell us a little bit more about what you offer and if people would like to join you for something, what they can do?
Okay. I offer one-to-ones, online, in person. I enjoy, obviously in person is a nicer way to be, but I understand, you know, that not everyone can make it to Scotland. So I do offer online. I do a number of sort of mentoring courses and one-off sessions. I love nothing more than, as we said, I love nothing more than meeting people from different walks of life that I wouldn't normally meet. I find it very inspirational. I run a number of residential workshops and retreats. And I'm in the process actually at the moment of sort of pulling together what 2025 looks like. So I've got a collaboration with Mark Cornick coming up. He's a wonderful photographer from the south of England. We're working together for the first time in April this year, but we're now looking at possibly doing a retreat in Cornwall next year. I'm looking at possibly other locations like Skye. And I'm also, this is hot off the press, I'm also looking at collaborating with a wonderful sailing instructor who has a 44-foot yacht and sails around the Inner and Outer Hebrides. And I think it could be a wonderful partnership about having 8 people on board this yacht that can learn to sail. They can learn to, you know, do ICM photography. We can do it from the boat whilst we're moving. And I think it could be a really fantastic experience. So that's kind of in the pipeline for April next year. I'm wanting to be a little bit more innovative about the experiences that people get when they come out with me. And so I'm very excited about what the next few years kind of looks like.
And you'll show them your beautiful Scotland.
Yes, absolutely. And I like that. Yeah, nicely linked there.
You're so welcome. We'll link to all of Shona's, all the ways you can contact Shona. You can follow her on Instagram at My Beautiful Scotland, which is why I mentioned that, because she does show us how beautiful Scotland is. So thank you, Shona. It was really wonderful chatting with you and getting to know you.
Likewise.
Yeah. All right. That is it with Wild Woman, Shona Perkins. So until next time, y'all, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Come with me on my next adventure. Be a wild woman and join me on one of my small group photography escapes in places like the Cypress Swamps of East Texas or White Sands, New Mexico. Go to wildwomanphotography.com for all the details. While you're there, you can check out featured wild women, episode transcripts, and more. Oh, and I'd love for you to support this podcast and all these incredible wild women in photography by leaving a review or sharing with a friend. Thank you so much for listening.